Today, I'd like to be an encouragement first to myself and then hopefully to you. And text verse today is in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read that and we could try to update on the mission work that's going on and a few things that's going on in our lives, and then we'll try to deal with the message. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we stand in this pulpit, Lord, I pray you just help us to be able to see in your word and be able to be encouraged in the days that we live in. Lord, I pray that you might just take your words and use them. I pray that what needs to be said would be said, and that that needs to be left off would be left off. Lord, I pray you'd be with Brother Noah Fry as he's preaching down in Florida today. Lord, I pray you'd anoint him and rest of the week as he goes on that revival. Keep him and Sister Polly safe as they drive that motorhome back home to Lexington, North Carolina sometime, probably Saturday. Lord, I pray you'd meet needs there. Lord, Brother Joe Sereno, I know he's mounting a pulpit here in a few minutes, probably about now. Lord, I pray you give him unction, give him power to preach. And Lord, the pertinent message that he has, Lord, I pray that you'd have ears and hearts that would be open to what's being said. Lord, again, I pray you'd be with us here today. Lord, help us to be encouraged and to go forth with the work that you've called us to do. And Lord, I pray you bless this church, bless the pastor and the members here. And Lord, I pray that they would continue to be able to keep the doors open, that they might be a lighthouse in this area. I ask in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I find we live in some awful, discouraging times. The days that we live in, Pastor made a remark. How many churches you say closed in this county?
In this county, it was about 4 or 5.
And in the state of Virginia?
A little over 1,000.
In just this state? That ain't good, and I guess you have heard about what's getting ready to take place in Richmond tomorrow, right? Well, I was going to go, but the more I thought about it, the less that I'm going to get involved with it. And I'm not trying to turn this pulpit into a political thing this morning, but I got a big problem with the governor of Virginia. That sorry rascal sit here and say that he gonna kill babies after they're born and all that kind of stuff. And this rally they have in Richmond tomorrow is about the Second Amendment, about the right to bear arms. And there's gonna be a gathering of about 800,000 people over there in Richmond come tomorrow. And I know they have chartered buses from Patrick County, and I know some's leaving from Danville in the morning to go over there. But the thing that bothers me with that thing is we that would be going, that would be pro the Second Amendment, pro guns, pro this kind of protecting ourselves and all this kind of thing, we ain't supposed to bring guns with us, but then he had the army and the military over there with them. They got guns. That's kind of slanted, I think. And that's the way our world has become. Right has become wrong, and wrong is right. Me and Brother Donald in here, two men in here, and I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women. Somebody comes in this church with a gun in his hand today, I think we need to try to protect one another. I personally don't have mine on me right now. I might hope you got one, to be honest with you. You'll have to need it. But the days in which we live in, The days in which we live in, we don't know what's coming through the door. And how in the world would you think we live in the day that there would be church shootings? People's wicked. They're bad. They're rough. And we went to a meeting Thursday night that was put on by the sheriff of Patrick County. And when I got home, I said, I'm going to tell you what I got out of that meeting. She said, what? If you ain't got a gun, drop to the floor. And if you do have one, use it. That's what the sheriff pretty much said. And after the meeting was over with, and I didn't know that, the sheriff talked to our pastor for a minute. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I don't think you have much of a problem over there at Middle Cross, because you had the Middle Cross militia, but you tonight. And hey, we don't want to be mean, but we plan on protecting our people the best we can. We plan on doing that. And I didn't bring that up to be a political thing, but it's the day that we live in. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to come off that road out there that's crazy and want to come in here and hurt you or rob you and all that. That's the day we live in. But me being a missionary, and I do appreciate y'all's willingness to want to support us, and I will say something that I hope that you will take it right. One church come to me one day, the pastor did, and said, Brother David, we don't feel like we can afford to support you. I said, Brother, what are you talking about? He said, well, Alice Church is a small church. We might could give you $5, $10 a month. And I said, well, praise God. This is the deal. I said, it ain't about the amount of money that you've given me. It's about, are you behind me? If I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, right at seven or eight people in here this morning. Look, if I feel like you praying for me, God will take care of the financial need. He will. But if you ain't praying for me, He ain't going to take care of the spiritual or financial, any other kind of need. So I told that pastor, I said, listen, I said, don't you worry about what amount of money you going to support me at. I said, I just want to know you behind me. I don't care. And I say to y'all, that's the same thing. Whatever God lays on your heart is fine with me. Don't bother me a bit. And he never has taken me on. He's taken on Florentino, our missionary that we got in Paraguay, that's really doing a wonderful work. And I'm glad he did. Praise God. He's supporting Florentino, really supporting me, because I see the work going on now, and I see what's going on, see what's happening, what's being done. I think that I haven't been here since the last time Mary Helen and I flew down to Paraguay. But I'll give you a little update on that and some things going on in our lives. We lived in Charleston, South Carolina 3 years. We started a work down there, and it's running about 100 now. But to be honest with you, that brother that we started with, he never did let me run it exactly like I wanted to run it, and he's kind of went a different way than I wanted it to go. So I'm not really going to preach for him, because he's going a way that shouldn't be. There were souls saved down there, and praise God for that. I'm glad there were souls saved. But I want to go doctrinally correct about what this King James Bible says, and he's got a few doctrines in his head that ain't right. And I won't go no further than that, but in the Spanish world, you've got a controversy over what is the Word of God in Spanish too. Well, he's using the right Bible, but he's come up with some wrong doctrines. We've got some guys here in the United States that are King James only, but they got some crazy doctrines. Look, folks, I'm a Baptist. I ain't Pentecostal. I got some Pentecostal friends. I disagree with them. I'm not saying they're not saved, but I disagree with them. And I can't fellowship on a personal, close basis with them because of the different doctrines. I believe the doctrines that Baptists believe is Bible doctrines. They're not a church doctrine. And I'll say all that to say this. When we came back to Virginia, we joined a church that was part of the Blue Ridge Association. I prayed long and hard before I did, and I really didn't want to be a part of the Blue Ridge Association. And personally, I wasn't a part of it. And that church, Middle Cross, came out of a split of a pretty good-sized Southern Baptist church, and they were the conservative split. So some of those that were in there were in the Blue Ridge, and they stayed in it for a while. But I'm gonna tell you something that happened last Sunday, because I know my pastor. He was Independent Baptist, and he always has been, because I've been knowing him when he first started preaching. Me and him was in the Independent Baptist church together. And he's King James only, and nobody don't tell him what to preach. Come Sunday morning, he preaches, "Thus saith the Lord," what he got from the Word of God, and that's what he preaches. And he made comment in the pulpit. Mike's just a young fellow. I don't know whether Mike's 45 yet. I know he's 44. But he said, "Let me tell you something. Any of y'all come in here, deacons, whoever it is, come in here and tell me what I'm going to preach come Sunday morning." He said, "You'll see me walking out the back door for the last time, because I ain't have that." Amen. He'd tell them that in a minute. And I hope y'all know me well enough that they ain't going to tell me what to do either. Right. Okay? And I never did care about that part about the Blue Ridge. But I done told the pastor, see, he knows. Last Sunday, we had a business meeting. It took me by surprise. Preacher got up and said, "Look, we need to get out of the Blue Ridge. We don't need to be in it." Amen. And I was the first to make that motion. And it went through. There was very little discussion about it. So now we ain't part of no association. We full-fledged independent independents. Sometime I get independent of the independents. And I'm saying this just how I feel this morning. Now, y'all getting to know me good now. You might decide to take my support back. I don't know. But one thing that was brought up in the business meeting was this. Well, now, we could bring that mean-spirited, independent Baptist attitude in this church. I spoke up and I said, "This church is autonomous. It's self-governing. Has been. It ain't been in here before." I said, "The only way we could get that mean spirit in here is we bring it in ourselves. I get it in me, you get it in you, or you bring in preachers that's got that kind of spirit. That's how you get it in the church."
That's right.
We don't have to put up with that mean-spirited stuff. We got too much stuff in this Bible to preach that says, "Thus saith the Lord," and we ain't got to be ugly and mean-spirited about it. We really don't. And I don't want to be mean-spirited. I've been accused of being that before, but sometimes you can read portions of this Bible and they can say it's mean-spirited, but it's not. It's what the book says. But anyway, as I'm at this point, I told preacher, I said, after I talked to you on the phone, I told my pastor, I said, "I'm going over there to Rangola come Sunday morning, because I like to let him know when I'm going to be out, and I'm just not laying out." A lot of the people get in there and think a missionary is just laying out and ain't doing nothing, all that. But when I get out, when I'm not in that church, I'm planning on being somewhere to preach or present what we're doing or try to get support for the work. That's why I'm out. And I told him a little bit about y'all's situation here. I said, "It's a small group. They're hanging on, trying to keep things going." And I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, "You tell them people over there, when you get over there, you tell them if they need some help to let me know." And he ain't just talking about that. He means that. One thing they're heavily involved in is Carpenters for Christ in building projects, stuff like that. But now, he ain't beyond helping you with some kind of evangelistic campaign that you might have. And I know Mike's willing to help you. He wouldn't have told me that just to be talking to me. Y'all need some help. Middle Cross don't mind helping. And that's where we're at on that. You've got a card, and I give one to Mrs. Bill, and he's the computer guru. You can listen to Mike's messages via the internet, and I know you're better than that, or y'all better than that than I am. I've done it, but I haven't often. But you can listen to his messages a Sunday morning. His message now will be streaming live on the internet as the service goes on today. And just to give you a little bit about our church, Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class used to be taught out of a quarterly. We ain't teaching out of a quarterly. We teach it out of the book.
Hey.
And we've got a Sunday school teacher that's excellent. He's been teaching out of the book of Romans, and he's in chapter 15 today. And he takes it verse by verse, and that's what he teaches out of. Pastor on Wednesday night has been going through the book of Revelation, and he's doing it verse by verse. And he's preaching a series of messages. I talked to him on my way over here. And I told him, I said, you got your gun loaded this morning? He said, yeah, both of them, the gospel gun and the other one. He's preaching on Fight the Good Fight of Faith. He's been on a series of that for a couple weeks now. And it's been a blessing. I said that to say what you're getting and where I'm coming from. We're not dealing with a church that don't believe this book. We're not dealing with a church that don't practice this book.
Hey.
And I'm trying to be an encouragement. There ain't too many of those left. I'm getting ready to get ugly now. When I joined that church, I had quite a bit of support drop because they were loosely connected with the Blue Ridge. But I know of another church that I could have joined that ain't too awfully far from y'all. And I ain't gonna say no more about that. My son's a member of it. It is an independent, fundamental Baptist church. Our granddaughter will be 3 years old in June. Well, we were invited to the baby dedication when she was born. So we're talking almost 3 years ago. So I said, all right, I'll come to that thing. When I walked through the back door, and you can figure it out if you want to, I might even tell the pastor if he asked me later which church it is. When I walked in the back door, there's a big vestibule about there, people greeting you. And the whole auditorium's dark. And they got spotlights in there. And the music, as a teenager, I went to a few rock concerts. Well, I thought I'd done turned teenager again. And there's a fella in there older than me standing there greeting me. And I said it where everybody could hear it, talking about like I am now. I said, I thought we was coming to church this morning. I didn't know we was coming to a rock concert. And the older gentleman told me, brother, it gets better than this. I said, it's got to get better because it can't get worse. Church house is not a rock concert.
Nope.
And we're talking independent, fundamental Baptist church. Yeah. Now, it upsets me because our church ain't like that. I don't get into this praise and worship music. I mean, praise God. I praise God with what we're singing. But it ain't this sing seven words 50 times and waving your hand and going crazy and God ain't nowhere in it.
And looking at a screen.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to put a screen up here with the verses on it, it don't bother me. But take them out of that hymn book. And take this and put this up there. That's fine. I don't have a problem with the screen, so to speak. But I got a problem when it's you got a, what do they call it? A worship coach? I don't know what it is, but I mean, and if you sit there and you don't get involved at all what we stay doing, you're the one wrong. I don't like it. But this is the problem, brother. I had a fella drop me that's been knowing me way over 30 years because of that light association with the association. I said, but brother, I'm going to tell you something. If I went and joined that other church that had a title that says Independent Fundamental Baptist, you wouldn't have touched me. You wouldn't even question me. So just because it's got a title don't mean it stands for something. It did 40, 50 years ago. It don't now. I can tell you more of them. And we got some sorry Southern Baptist churches. But we got just as many sorry Independent Baptist churches. And I come out of a legalistic church down there in St. Stephen, South Carolina, when God called me to preach and he called me to the mission field. That church legalistic. It really was. But I'm here to tell you something. I got to the mission field. Some of that stuff had to go to trash can because some of it wasn't biblical. Okay? I'm trying to behave. But when I got on the mission field, we had a little situation in the church I started down there. We had a Mother's Day thing. And we had some little girls in there and they were singing. And they done a good job. But they wasn't dressed quite right. And we took pictures of them. I said, Marilyn, you know we can't send none of them pictures to the United States. She said, why is that? I said, because them little girls ain't dressed exactly like they ought to be. But now I'm going to ask you ladies in here, a question. Would you rather have them little young ladies, they were about 10, 12, 13 years old, young ladies in there, would you rather have them in church, or would you rather have them over there followed after their mama, which was a prostitute? Because there was a house of prostitution right across the street from the church, and that's where them youngins come from. That's what their mama was doing over there. So which would you rather have them in church, not dressed exactly like they ought to be? Because down the road, they can get convictions and they can change that.
Right.
But they ain't gonna do that the first day you get them in there. Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead, you wanna say something, say it. But listen, the world has got people so messed up that they don't even know what right is. Now, I'm going to tell you one on Brother Noah Fry right now. Me and him are pretty friendly. And then I ain't even got it with the message. Nowhere near. And we need to get out of here. But he had something go on with his motorhome, and he needed to take it down to Colfax right out of Greensboro to get it fixed. He'd already called down there, and they supposed to have the part, and they would go fix it. Something 30-minute thing, it'd be done with it. It was a valve in the commode, what it was. And I went over there that morning. We hooked up the car, we unhooked everything, and unhooking the motorhome and getting it ready for the road. It ain't 5 minutes. It takes you about 30 minutes to get everything done, then drive it to Greensboro, and all this kind of stuff. We walked in there, and the first thing we met was a 60-year-old teenager, a woman, dressed improper. And I don't know what she's trying to do, and y'all can run me off if you want to, but I come close to telling her, what you selling, I don't want. You know, y'all take and put it wherever you want to. And I didn't say nothing. I was just like, I'm the little boy. I'm standing up on the inside, but on the outside I'm calm. But she was not making me calm with the way she was doing. Anyway, the part wasn't there and this and that and the other. We walked out and Brother Noah looked at me and said, Brother Dave, I said, what's that? He said, you know, you're getting ready to see a side of me you ain't never seen before. I said, well, brother, I'm already standing up on the inside. You're getting ready to see a side of me that you ain't never seen before too. Because I said, I don't like that woman acting there. And he said, when I go across the street over here, they don't have a little different attitude. We're going to show out today. We went over there. Calm down, preacher. Everything's all right. You got your car with you? Yeah, I got it. Go have breakfast. We'll have your motor home fixed when you get back. We went and ate breakfast. It was ready, and they had it full of fuel and everything when we come back. It was ready to go. But that's the kind of thing we got ruling over us. How can you expect a teenager to dress right and act right when you got these 60, 65-year-old grandmothers that's not? There it is. I'm ugly this morning. Brad. Whatever. But we started the work down in Paraguay, and we were down there in September. And the preacher board, it was my Timothy. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. And I found him and saw him, and he drove 6 hours to come see me. I was very elated, because Paraguayans don't do that. They just don't. And he is going forward and still preaching. Praise God. That meant something to me as a missionary, man of God, whatever you want to say. He's still sticking with the stuff. He's still preaching. He got a pretty good sized church. And the one that we are helping, Florentino, some of you probably got prayer cards of him too. When Mary Helen and I went down there this last time, I'd been communicating with his daughter, and his daughter is in her 30s, and she's one of these that's silly. She loves to cut food. And she said, because Florentino, let me just explain something to him, too. His house has got a board wall that's like a rough cut 1x6 board standing up like this, and there's cracks in it and thatch roof and all that. That's his house. And she told me on the phone that my house, me and Juan, her and her husband, we got air conditioning, we got a stove, we got an inside bathroom, we got all this stuff. I thought she was playing with me. I thought she, you know, she's pulling my leg. Because Florentino in 2018 just put a commode in his house. And he took pictures of it and showed it to Mayor Harris. But we got down there, and Florentino said, you can stay here with me and Lydia, but I think you'd be better off to go to Dahlia's house. So we went to Dahlia's house. She walked in there showing us, and she picked the remote up off the nightstand and punched the button and turned the air on in the bedroom. I said, she wasn't lying. We got air conditioned in the bedroom at least. We had an inside bathroom. We had a kitchen. We had a dining room. So that's where we stayed for a little over a week. Praise God. When we got ready to leave from down there, I miss my car keys when I'm down there. I don't have a vehicle running down there. And Florentino desperately needs a van. We're trying to raise money and try to see if we can get him a van. But we didn't exactly know how we was going to get from out there in the country, because it's about 2 or 3 miles to town. And this fat boy sure didn't want to walk. And it was getting kind of hot that day. He said, I'll get you back to town. Somebody come here in a vehicle and we'll get you back to town. Well, come to end of service, he put me in this little Nissan pickup with this couple. And he cranked that thing up, and I heard something click under the hood. And then I felt cool coming out the vents. I said, you know what? We could ride an air conditioner back to town today. And not only did we ride back to that town, we drove about 40, 50 miles to where the big bus station was. And he didn't let me stand beside the road to catch a bus. He drove me with the air conditioned pickup all the way back. God provides. He takes care of you.
Right.
Now, I know I didn't have to have air conditioning. I could have stood the heat, but I didn't want to. God takes care of us.
Yes, he does.
And we become so discouraged because I do it. And if I get discouraged, I know you do. It's sad to see this church empty. It really is. That ain't our problem. God takes care of us. And another thing in my life, I've been a diabetic for a good while. But a little over a month ago, the doctor told me, he said, you can start taking insulin. I'm going to do what? Yeah. I said, okay. I told Mary Helen, I said, I reckon you better learn how to stick me, because I ain't going to do it. Well, the first night we got home, I sat down in the recliner. I said, get it done. She said, "I'm done with you." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I stuck you a while ago. You done. I didn't feel it. I've been sticking myself, and I don't really feel it. That's something that I feared that I had no reason to fear. I don't like it. I don't. And you need to pray for me, because sometimes I'm depressed over it, but I almost feel like it's a death sentence. But everybody tells me it's not. So pray for me with that." But in the message today, Revelation 1, 17, 18 says this, "And I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead." Have you fell down like you dead? Our old self, it should be dead. I know our bodies are not dead yet, but they're headed that way. Me and him was talking about this earlier. This body ain't going to heaven. It's corrupt. We could get a brand new one. I got up this morning. I couldn't hardly get up. My shoulder was hurting. My husband said, "Turn over the other way. You get up." She's about mean. And I did, and I got up, and it didn't hurt as much, so that's good. And I turned 65 in March. Brother Noel turns 89. So I get my little red, white, and blue card stamped come March. I'll say more about that in a minute. But dead. We should be dead. And we ought to found ourselves dead in trespasses and sin. But then we can be made alive. In this verse 18, you'll see a few things here. Do you see a past? It says, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Hey, they nailed Christ to a cross, and he died for our sin. He made the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He laid his life down for us. That's the past. But the future is, he liveth. That's present. He liveth. "And behold, I am alive." We don't serve some dead savior somewhere, some Buddha that's dead, some Allah that's dead, some God that's dead. We don't serve Dagon. You got to pick him up off the floor and put him back together before you can worship him. We first serve a living Savior.
Amen.
Right. Now I'm going to get on something else. This last trip we took down to South America, missionaries are always looking, I don't want to say cheapest, but the most economical flight to go. And the most economical flight to go was leaving Raleigh and going to Toronto, Canada, and then flying to Santiago, Chile. You go north, then you go south. I'm not going to say I'm not going to do it, because you don't never say never. But if God will let me live, I won't never fly back through Toronto, Canada. It all started out in Raleigh. This is where our world has become. I went in to check in our bags in Raleigh. Everything went pretty good. I was dealing with a North Carolinian American woman. Everything went pretty good. Well, we got back to our restricted area, to the gate where we're going to take this plane from Raleigh to Toronto. I got to looking at the screen up there. I told my head and I said, "This ain't going to work." "What do you mean?" I said, "We already delayed 45 minutes. I said, "Ain't no way in the world we can make that connection in Toronto." "Really?" I said, "Yeah, really." Well, I'd already seen this woman walking around in there. And she had her little head cover and all this little garb on. She has her little Muslim uniform on. And I can't figure out something. If you're working for an airline and they have a uniform, looks like everybody ought to have to wear it.
Yeah.
But she had on her Muslim garb, whatever you call that thing. And I went up there and they said, "Oh, you'll make your connection. It won't be a problem." I said, well, this old boy's pretty stupid. I said, but we arrived 15 minutes after the other plane is done gone. How am I going to do that? Oh, you'll be fine. Yeah. Well, that was one Muslim in Raleigh. When I got to Toronto, Canada, the whole place full of them. Everybody that's in charge of anything is Muslim up there. So, sure enough, we missed our flight, and they put us on another flight to São Paulo, Brazil, rather than Santiago, Chile. Marilyn said, what did you do? I said, we get on that flight and get out of Toronto. I don't care where to go. I know Santiago. I can get through it. I know where the next flight takes off to go to Paraguay from that place. I've been through there before. I don't care. So we went that route, got down there. And the interesting thing, I'm not anti-American in what I'm saying, but the interesting thing is, when you land in Brazil, you land in Chile, you land in Paraguay, you're dealing with nationals from that country. Here in the United States of America, you're allowed to deal with anything. We have given our country away. Well, we were in a hotel there in Asuncion that I stay in. When I get there and when I leave, I stay in that hotel because they'll take you to the airport to pick you up. That's why we stay there. Got there, there was this couple from Canada there. And he was born in Paraguay 62 years prior, had never been back. And he was from Vancouver, British Columbia. And I got to tell him about that Toronto airport. He said, let me tell you something. What airline do you fly? I said, Air Canada. He said, that was a bad mistake. He said, I flew down here on United. He said, they wasn't real good, but he's a whole lot better than Air Canada. And he said, what did you find in Toronto? I said, a bunch of Muslims. He said, that figure's real good. That's about right. He said, but don't judge every Canadian by what you see in that airport. He said, but our prime minister, which is the president, is going to give our country away. And guess what? Yours is right behind us. The United States of America is getting ready to go the same route. I done been in too many airports here in the United States that I was treated like a dog, whereas I was treated like royalty in a foreign airport. I got pictures of stuff. Santiago, Chile is nice. You couldn't get in a nicer airport than that. Asuncion's good. São Paulo, Brazil's good. But that airport in Toronto, I thought I was in third world. They dropped us off out there on the asphalt. We had to walk, felt like all the way from here to Danville to get to the airport. I say all that to say this. Our Lord's coming back. We're living in the last days. And that stuff that I'm talking about does discourage me. But what I see in this book is not discouraging. Christ died for our sin. We're saved. Praise God we're saved. We don't have to be worried about what this world can do to us. I mean, if a shooter comes in and kills every last one of us, what's going to happen? We could be in glory.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. We could be in glory. Now, I don't think I ought to let him kill you if I could do something about it. I don't really think so. But at the same time, we're in glory. We've been made alive in Christ. It's absolutely impossible to die when you're in Christ. This physical body can die, but my soul ain't dying. It lives forever. It does, ever and ever and ever. There's a very much a past tense. Christ has already died for our sin. That's over and done with. And those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's a done deal. It's done. I hear people say, well, he done this. I guarantee you, if I follow Don Mahan around enough, I'm going to find something wrong in his life. And the same thing with me. You follow me around long enough, I'll tell you what, get in the car and ride with me. I can't stand a tailgater. It makes me mad, bad. I want to stop and whoop most of them. So there's one of my little bad things with me. But that don't make me lost.
Well, you're right.
That don't make me lost.
No.
I have to get right with God sometime, but that don't make me lost. See, they put this thing in here, you're saved by grace, but you got to be kept by works. I ain't seen that in this book nowhere. Yeah, we ought to do good works because we do love Christ. But I don't lose my salvation just because I've done something wrong today, because I'd have done lost that this morning. I done had one tailgater today, brother. Really. I had to get right. I said, you don't go, you going to preach, you can't be ugly like that today. But Christ is alive, and we can be alive in Christ. That's our present. That's what we got now. Now, future. Christ is the future. Where is he at? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's getting ready for the Father to say, how about I go down and get my youngins to come on back? That's what he's doing. He lives forevermore. Forevermore. I'm 65 in March. I don't think there's nobody in here more than 90 years old. I don't think so. But I don't care. We've all lived a short time. Life is a vapor. I remember when I took my first step. People say I don't want to do it. I definitely remember 45 years ago this coming June when I married my wife. I remember that real good. 45 years went by like that. It's gone. If this life is all I had to look forward to, it would definitely be a sad situation. He lives forevermore. Amen. That means he ain't never, ever, ever gonna die. And guess what? If you in Christ, you ain't never, ever, ever gonna die. Amen. We can live forevermore in Christ. That's our future. That's our future. That's our blessed hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And the burden of a preacher is to take as many as you can with you. And if you don't see them coming with you, it bothers you and saddens your heart. But our future is very bright. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Turn over there. We need to read that. I need to read it every now and then. 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It ain't no way in the world, in your wildest imagination, can figure out what God has for you. It is beyond your imaginations. I had a story, and I'm going to close with this. We started that first little work down in Paraguay. And this little old lady in there, I don't really think she was that old, but she had lived a hard life. She's probably in her 60s. But she'd had a stroke. She couldn't close her mouth. And she was skin and bones. And she got in there and she got saved and she wanted to be baptized. And I told Ramona, I said, man, because we baptized in the river. I said, I don't know about this right here. I said, we liable to drown that woman. I don't want to drown her. I said, you can't close her mouth. She can't close it. And she spoke pure Guarani, which I don't understand. And Ramon couldn't really understand her either because she couldn't talk right. You know how a person has had a stroke. They say something, you have no idea really what they said. But she was just about to have a fit. She needed to be baptized. Well, one day, one Sunday, we talked about it a couple of Sundays, that we could do it. We baptized that woman, and I never will forget the smile and glow that come over her face from being baptized, that she was obedient to her Lord. And she coughed and spit and sputtered for probably 30 minutes, but man, she was happy. Mary Helen and I had a furlough coming up. We come back in here. I was in a hotel room somewhere, and usually somebody, some of my Spanish-speaking or preacher that acts like he speaks Spanish call me in the middle of the night, say something to me in Spanish, and I'm going to fly where he's at and choke him before he can be up. But somebody asked, I answered the phone, somebody speaking Spanish, and it was Ramon. And he said, Veronica is in glory. I said, do what? He said, yeah, they found her dead this morning. And I got to thinking about that thing. Her little old house where she lived was just some thrown together pieces of tin and cardboard and stuff like that and tarps and things like that. She had she loved mate. That's like we would drink coffee. It's a herbal tea thing. She had some little bricks in there, three of them, and she'd build a little fire in them bricks, and she'd warm up that pot, and she would drink mate in that thing. And a dirt floor. And her children really didn't have nothing to do with her. And she lived like that for years. Now think about it. When she drew her last hair, and she drew that second celestial breath in heaven, you don't you think that would blow her mind? I've been living in rags, and look where I am now. I remember about that right there real good. I know she got saved, she got in. There's others. This, before Christmas, we were offered a piano. Mary Helen really can't play, but she likes to play with it. And they told us, if you come get it, it's yours. And it's a nice piano. It's a Kimball, one of the studio pianos. It's beautiful. And we were given that piano. We went to South Carolina and picked it up and brought it home. It sits in our house pretty. We like it. Last night, or yesterday, a friend of ours from Charleston, she came up to visit with us, and she was in there playing that piano. And she began to play the roll that's called Up Yonder, and I was trying to pick it up. What is that? And this is how it is. When you're in a Spanish-speaking country, and they're singing a song, you know the music, but they're singing in Spanish. What is that in English? And you're sitting there wondering. And I knew the song, but I didn't do it. I said, I told my hair, I said, when the trompeta suena is what that is, which when the roll is called Up Yonder. We had a man down there that was dying of cancer, and we went to his house to be a blessing to him. And he, in turn, was a blessing to us. Because laying in his bed, he sang that song in Spanish in its entirety. When the roll is called Up Yonder, I'll be there. He didn't live about a week after that. And that was bless my soul. He was able to be that well and thanking God that that's where he's going to be shortly. He knew he was dying. There wasn't no hope for him. I would hope that when we go to our deathbed, we could be that happy. Because I'll never forget how happy he was. There's lots of times that I ought to go to a funeral to a saint of God. They think I'm sad because I'll shed tears. That ain't why I'm shedding tears. I'm aggravated because I ain't with him. I'm jealous. Because I'm here to tell you, we got a wonderful future ahead of us. This place might be empty. And I didn't know it in its heyday. But I think that some people got saved in this place. Sister, your daddy was the pastor, right? I got a feeling you remember about a whole lot of people getting saved. You probably one of them. Mm-hmm.
Not here, though.
But you got saved somewhere.
Yep.
But you probably seen plenty of people get saved right here. Where they're at now, that ain't none of my business. But they got saved. That's just like that church in Charleston down there. Yeah, the leader down there, he's went a direction that I'm not going to go. I'm not going to stand with him. But I'm telling you, there's people going to be in heaven because of the ministry that started there. I don't know why he wants to head the way he does, because Latinos are wired different than we are. They have a different culture, and they like music different than we do, but yet at the same time, when they don't like doctrine like right, I don't like dealing with it. So, but with all that being said, there were souls saved. Their souls were saved here. Thank God the door ain't closed. It could be one that the door's closed. Thank God it's not. And if we can help you at Middle Cross any kind of way we can, Pastor Dunn told me to tell you that because I told him where I was going. And don't get me wrong, Brother Donald, I told him, I said, the church is a small conversation. Everybody's got ailments. They're old, all that. I'm not being ugly. I'm one of the old ones too. But look, just because we don't have the strength of a 30-year-old, that don't mean we ain't strong in this.
Amen.
And some of these, I'm telling you, I'm going to shut up because I know I'm way past time. One thing that my wife loves to take pictures of in South America is ox carts. You know what that is? That's cows pulling a wagon. Some of them got wheels this high. And they're pretty. But you know, you don't never see an old ox yoked up with another old ox. Usually there's a big old ox, and you tell he's got age on him. He's been around a long time. And over his right and over him is a young fella. That young fella's energetic. He jump out there and get it done. But at the end of the day, he's leaning over on the old ox because the old ox is pulling. He paced himself. He didn't give himself out. But that old ox, he's still moving. At the end of the day, some of these young people need to lean on old folks. We done been through some battles they ain't been through. And if they don't do it in our lifetime, they'll figure it out down the road. I got a son that turns 40, that turned 42 Friday, the 17th, he turned 42. I got another one that's 41. He will be 41 in June. But I see them boys get up and they grab their back, walk off the slope. I said, boy, you ain't 16 no more, are you? No, Daddy, I got aches and pains too. They might not listen to me all the way right now, but there'll come a time that when they'll figure out that's how it is. And I'm seeing my boys are listening to me more now than them. They are 17, 18 years old. Because they're all young and got that youth. But they're finding out that their youth ain't where it was. Because it don't stay long. Our life's a vapor. But be encouraged. We got a wonderful future. I'm looking forward to that brand new body that my shoulder don't hurt and my back don't hurt and all this kind of stuff. Mary Helen said, you always complaining about hurting all the time. I said, it's because I do. I'm hurting. She said, well, I do too. I just don't say nothing about it. I said, well, I do. I hurt. Lord bless you all. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do for
it. Oh, hallelujah. You enjoy that?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.